Welcome to the teaching ministry of pastor, teacher, and healing evangelist, Billy Burke. We're glad you're with us today as our pastor shares another powerful word that we trust will bring strength, encouragement, and healing in your life. Now, here's Pastor Billy.
Hebrews chapter 6, and we're going to start with verse number 10. We're going to talk about a great subject tonight, and I know you're going to really enjoy it. It's what does it mean to be patiently waiting on what God has for you? What's that entail? What's that mean? And if most people never fulfill it, you know, what they heard God say to them, what was prophesied to them, is there anything we can do tonight to avoid us falling into that same pitfall? Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and your labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, and that you have ministered to the saints, and you do minister. And we desire that every one of you, say every one of us, shows the same diligence. Underline that I show diligence, that I stay on top of what I'm pursuing, irregardless of circumstance, feeling, to the full assurance of hope unto the end. We desire that every one of you show the same diligence. What's he talking about? The same diligence that I have, the same diligence that Abraham had, that you stay on top of everything, that you don't quit in spite of what you are personally experiencing, irregardless. You're going to find out whether you ate too much pizza or you had a real prophecy. You're going to find out whether you really believed what you heard God say, what God showed you, what you experienced at the altar. Most people can't fulfill this verse. We're going to read through a few more verses because this is just a little, but this is so powerful right here, what he's saying. We desire, like a parent desiring for their children, a pastor desiring for their people, someone genuinely that cares for you desires that you would what? Show the same diligence. Diligence has to be displayed. It has to be showed. You can't mistake diligence. Now look at me. Diligence will always outwin gifted. A less gifted person will be ahead of a gifted lazy person, of a gifted passive person. A lot of gifted people, a lot of people that can sing, preach, pray, invent, write, act, realize their looks, and all of a sudden they just kind of check out and coast. And they may achieve some of the things, but it's the aggressive or the diligent. Someone that's just up at it, has a reason to wake up in the morning, you know, besides going to work. Has a reason to wake up in the morning besides, oh, we're going to buy a new house. So it's a kingdom-minded individual whose purpose is far beyond the average, you know, house, car, real estate, success-oriented in the business world. This is about, man, I just have a purpose that's not of this world. It's in this world, but it's not from this world. And being diligent with that. That you would show the same kind of diligence to the full assurance of hope, staying hopeful, even when you don't have it yet or see it yet. You should all memorize this verse right here. It's powerful. Now, the fact that he was saying that we desire that every one of you would show this means that most of them weren't showing it. So people were losing hope. And so when you lose hope, you begin to think crazy thoughts. And your feelings run you. Your thoughts run you. And you drift from the Word of God. You drift from everything that God sent your way to make you a success or to make you an amazing person. Verse 12, that you be not slothful. You don't pray, you don't meditate, you don't sing to the Lord, you don't give your money with joy, or you don't give at all, you don't hang out where the anointing is, you're just slothful, you're just kind of meandering around. You're walking around the mall just to do it. You look around, you're not there to really buy anything, you're just there. You're just driving around the city with nowhere to go. You're out there just driving around to get out of the house. No destination in mind. Just meandering. Meandering means just looking around, going to church, singing a song, hallelujah, but no purpose, aiming at nothing. And slothful just means no aggressive desire to change that, to get there. So you've become a wonderful church person, and that's to be admired, because that's better than nothing, or better than being anywhere else that wouldn't be as productive. But church is only an agent to connect you to somewhere. Church isn't to be like, oh, this is it. No, this is not it. This is where you come that connects you to the invisible. Right. Church is visible. You're to be connected to the invisible. And this is what's supposed to connect you to that, to an experience, to a promise, to a hope that you can't see, you know, the chair you see, the room you see, the pulpit you see, right? People you see. And so it's amazing people go to church to just live natural. It's sad that people use the church to just do the same thing that people in country clubs do. That's why people join country clubs, spas. They're looking for a social connection. Well, I met her at, we became friends at. You know, if you go on, if you travel as much as like I travel, you'll find out that people travel just to meet people. People go on tours, they're full-time tour people. The cruise lines are filled with people that are regulars, just to be on a boat and meet new people. I met Lois in Bermuda. I met Sam in the Bahamas. I met Joseph in England. And I got all these friends. And you find out that people do the same in church. They come to church, and there's nothing wrong with that social ingredient. It's a need, and it should be met. That's what fellowship is. But it's never meant to hinder you from a higher connection, which is, why are you still alive? Why were you born? You know, it's not for God to keep rescuing you out of your current situation. Don't make where you're in and going through your life's work. You will get through where you're at. You will heal. You are going to win. Amen. Right? Amen. But see, this is talking about having assurance of hope unto the end. And the only way you're going to get that is if you remain diligent. And so you got to be careful to make sure you're around diligent people, not lazy people, not people that take their eyes off the goal, not people that feel like it's never going to happen. Their healing, their prophetic word, their dream, their vision. Okay? Don't be slothful. You know, some people, you know, my grandfather taught me that there's smart fish and dumb fish. When you go fishing, he's just smart fish and dumb fish. And he'd show me people that are fishing along the river. He'd say, now see that guy over there? And he'd have his rod in on a stick, and he'd be sitting back, and he'd be watching his line to go like that. He'd say, now if that guy catches a fish, it's a dumb fish. Because he's not catching the fish is catching itself. He said, don't ever eat a dumb fish. He said, no, smart fish you have to catch. You can't just sit your pole down, because that fish isn't going to bite on that. See, you want to feel fish on the end. That fish wants to feel life on this end. Yeah, so he said a smart fish, and he went down that path. Well, the point of it is that that diligence, see, keeps you on top of something. So that whenever you do move into phases of whatever you're after, you sense a kickback reward, because you've put more of yourself into it. You take more ownership whenever you put more of yourself into it. If you build the church with your hands, with your sweat, and you lay the mortar and the block, and that church goes up, it's more than a building to you. Your time and sweat is into that, right? If somebody comes in who never built that, and a tornado takes it out, that guy that never had nothing to do goes, oh, bless Jesus, we'll just build another one. But you that had time and energy and sweat into that, you're going to think, oh, yeah, I know we'll build another one, but that one was special. What, there's more of you in it. And so you want to have more of you in your journey. Why? It takes on value. And you're going to protect it more, honor it more, be more faithful to it. There's little faithfulness to what you don't have a lot invested. Are you with me?
Yes.
Okay. So people that hardly pray, don't fast, don't sing to God, don't declare, and don't get in. Hey, you're still going to heaven, and you're probably a wonderful person. I haven't talked to your mother yet, but you're probably a wonderful person. But you're not going to nearly feel as satisfied as the person that's working it. Not to be saved, working it to get it in you. You never have to work it to be saved. It's a free. But the grace, as far as getting it inside of you, it's got to be work to get it in your thinking. That's where the work is. Not getting it to heaven. Free, you're in. There's your pass. But getting this book to get every benefit from the book, it takes work to get that in there. Because your mind is hit under assault 5, 6, 7 days a week through every form of media and literature out there to take you away from God's principles. So you've got to fight that undertow, right? That wants to take you out to sea, right? That you be not slothful, but followers of them who faith and patience inherit the promise. So it takes more than faith to inherit what you want. Sometimes healing involves patience. Sometimes healing deliverance involves patience. Sometimes getting a great marriage involves a boatload of patience. Sometimes getting your whole family born again and seeing them saved takes trainloads and truckloads of patience. Right? So you believe it, but then your faith is tested. How is it tested? By time. What does T-I-M-E mean? It means patience. It's probably the virtue we're all the least effective at. That you be not slothful, followers of them who faith and patience inherit the promises. So we know that it takes both faith and patience. And you all know what I'm speaking of here, of course. But let me make this phrase to you tonight. Here's the phrase I want you to get into your spirit tonight. Faith opens the door to the promise. But your patience that keeps the door open. Faith opens the door to what you're after. But patience, not more faith, patience now is what keeps that door from closing. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. He said, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. Now here comes a really hard verse, tough verse. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. When did he obtain the promise? Now, those two words, when you see those two words together, it's very dangerous. Patiently, I can handle. Endured, I can handle. But whenever you see patiently endured, you're talking here about without God's grace and your full cooperation, most of the time you're going to check out. And patience to you is going to become, well, I gave it to God. Patience to you is going to be, forget about it. You heard a preacher say that one time, so that preacher probably was right. Whenever a preacher tells you that you have to die to your dream and die to your vision, the correct way to say that is you die to the fact that you think you can bring it about. But you never die to the diligence it takes to believe for that dream. You see the big difference? And sometimes we've interpreted patience as just leave it alone. You just walk away from it, and I forgot about it, and I left it to God. And that all sounds so spiritual. But that, go back up here to diligence. That's the last thing that diligence means. So what does patience mean? You that are waiting on the break, you that are waiting on the next great move in your life, or that thing to happen that you want to happen. It means then when something hasn't happened immediately, when faith opened up the door, if what you're believing for, now here's the big if what you're believing for is word-based, not feeling-based, if it's word-based, and it don't happen when you want, if it's word-based, it's still going to happen unless you quit. But patience simply means that you stay in faith and keep doing what you did to open the door. It doesn't mean doing nothing. It doesn't mean forgetting about it. Actually, it's the opposite. It means in spite of where you're at and going through, you stay focused on the fact that you have something coming to you in the mail. It's got held up in Nebraska, but you know it's going to get to your house. There's a tracking number on it, Isaiah 53:5. Come on, Deuteronomy 8:18, Psalm 3:3. You got tracking numbers on everything. And you got to understand that if it's word-based, outside of our house in the back is like a sanctuary. We have a lot of wildlife, alligators and birds. And when you see these birds, I was watching this, I'm not sure what kind it was. It's not a vulture, some kind of a hawk. But he lands on the back near our pool on the house there, and he just watches over the lagoon. And he just sits there on this perch by the fence. And I was watching him one day, and I thought, you know, boy, that if you watch animals, you learn a lot. And these predators, they say an alligator is just an opportunistic animal. Just smooth around all day, just hungry as all get out. His stomach's growling the whole time. He's just cruising around, just waiting for something to, waiting. Sleeping? No, waiting. He's hungry. He wants food. He can fall asleep. Just cruising around, just waiting for something to fall in there, look up there, and just, and this bird's the same way. Just sitting, it looks like it's doing nothing. And that head's a turning, you know, and I'm watching that bird, I'm thinking, you know, it looks like you're doing nothing, but you have your eyes on the prize. Just waiting for those Polaroid lenses to see below the water for the right moment. And I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden, he takes off of that thing, goes into that lagoon, comes up with a fish. And I thought, now, wow. I mean, a few minutes ago, you were just sitting there, just, same with the lion. They just lay there, and they wait and wait. And it's a mystery why they pick out the one they pick out, or the cheetah. If you watch anything on the big cats, how patient. It says a lion seeking whom? Patient. It's amazing how, you know, how it's not just, well, I'm just waiting and, you know, and I'm going to bide my time. No, it's not taking your eyes off the prize, ever, ever. Diligence doesn't take your eyes off the prize. Did we read diligence here or not? Come on, see, if it's Word of God based, then if it don't happen when I want it to, because it's Word of God based. Yeah, I have to know it's going to happen. But some people are so impatient that even though it's Word of God based and it don't happen when they think, they fall apart, not realizing it's Word of God based. As long as you don't bail out, you will see the prize. Now, if it's not Word of God based, it's a vision or it's a dream, then you're going to be more severely tested because you have nothing recorded. It's something you saw. It's something you heard. It's a spiritual prophecy. That's a higher test for that because it's not recorded. That's why so many people lose their prophecies. Most people don't remember what was prophesied to them, dear God. They call our office. What Pastor Billy mean by that? I don't know. Pastor Billy don't know who you are. Who are you? It's like my calling is to give prophecies, document them, record them, and pull them up whenever you need them. No, that's your job, to get it in you for it to be believable, even whenever it don't seem like it, right? After he had patiently endured. Now, endured means you're facing tremendous opposition. It's one thing to be patient, you know, in a 5,000, 6,000 square foot house, palm trees all around it, hammock in the back. Great church, sports car, three flat screens. Wow. How many have no trouble waiting on the Lord when you're fearing something like that? Yeah, God's going to, I know it's coming, amen, amen. But it's another thing if you're broke, your daughter's sick, you got a donut tire on your car with three regular tires, your dog don't bark anymore. Three of your fish forgot how to swim. Come on, somebody. And you're waiting on the Lord. Oh, and your air conditioner went out. Now it's very challenging to wait on the Lord. And when people come to you, because they have a warped definition of waiting and a warped definition of patience, they come over to you and say, oh, you know, just sometimes we got to be patient. And you just want to smack them. Because most people have a warped vision and warped understanding of patience. Remember, we all don't have the patience of Job. Patiently endured. What does it mean? It means that you have to put enough value on what you say you want. I can't do that for you. Nobody can. There's a disease in the church today, and it's I value something today and I don't value it tomorrow. We live in a throwaway society. We live in a delete society. Make a mistake, delete it, start over. Make a mistake, delete it, start over. Our commitment to everything is very thin, and our set of values is so different. You get around some people and believers, and it would take you a week to hear Jesus. You'll hear weather, sports, sewing, sales, the mall, new shoes. You'll hear everything but Jesus. And we are social people, and we do have a social life, but we're spiritual beings. We're supposed to be spiritual. We're supposed to be spiritual with some social, not social with some spiritual. You know, we have this accent in the wrong place. But that's where we all start. That's what we have to grow into and grow out of, right? But if you're in a hardship, the creditors are calling, and you need money, and only you know what that feels. And so the last thing you want to hear is be patient, be patient, be patient. But if that word patient is the Bible patient, the kind we're reading about right here, it's the best advice anybody could give you. Because what they're saying is stay in faith, do what you did to believe the promise to begin with. When you got the promise to begin with, you were pumped up. You were so fired up. God said, I'm going to connect you to money. God said, I'm going to give you divine appointments with. God said, I'm going and you were like, oh my God, oh my God. You were so fired up. God said, I'm going to anoint you with a double portion. I'm going to give you something nobody with skin on ever had on planet Earth. Come on, somebody. I'm going. And here you are. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Well, 3 weeks go by. 3 years go by. Where are you now? Yeah, I got this word 3 years ago. Bless God. She was a precious man. I don't know. I mean, you know, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I believe it, but it's all this hemming and hawing, and because Moses didn't come down when you thought that he would. So you substitute Moses with something man-made. Moses had something divinely made. And they substitute it with something man-made. The right guy don't come along, so I'll take him. And what you find out 10 years later is, oh, my God. I got Saul and not David. I'm trading Saul in for David. If you can't be with the one you love, love the one you're with. All those songs out there. So, very important that they patiently endured. What does patient mean? It means stay in faith, in spite of. Surely God don't think I could do that. Look at me. Whenever you run out, and that's what it means. That's what James, look at James 1. I'm going to set your eyes on James 1 because most people, where do you hear this? This is going to really bless you. James chapter 1, verse 4. Ready? But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. The perfect work of patience. What is the perfect work of patience? Here's what it is. It flushes out all of your impurities. That's what patience does. It flushes out. You'll be surprised what comes out of you whenever you don't get what you want when you want it. And so James says what? That you may be entire, wanting nothing. Let patience have her perfect work. In other words, after the perfect work of patience, God says what? You're going to be complete and wanting for nothing. Why? Because patience was used to flush out what you didn't know was there. It's mind-boggling. My thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways. He said, my people operate more by feeling than by faith. And when they don't get what they want, they quit. They give up. Or they manufacturing into a golden cow, you know, they have Ishmaels. They produce Ishmaels. And then they have to feed and raise the Ishmaels. Perfect patience is you letting God flush out of you and flush out of me the way what we want and how we want it, all of that. And if it's from him, it will happen. He's going to save your children. He's going to save your grandchildren. He's going to heal you. He's going to restore your years. He's going to anoint you. He's going to use you, you know. And it just may be, and sometimes we bring so much pain on ourselves, so we have to what? We have to patiently endure. Instead of just being patient, we have to patiently endure. Why? Because we've made up our own drama of how we want things to play out. And when we want it to happen, instead of releasing it and laying it down. Now, is that easier said than done? Well, of course it is. But at some point, when you have suffered enough by doing it your way, you would think that, okay, I've learned that obviously you have something in mind besides the prize. It's when and how. I surrender the when and the how. So if I have to remain diligent, not get an attitude, not get cynical. A lot of people are cynical and they think that's approved by God. Like this. You know him. You know he's going to do it. I mean, however he does it. He don't like that. That doesn't reveal trust. That reveals, you know, you're upset because it didn't happen. You're like, nevertheless, at thy word. So in this particular story we're reading tonight, it's all about attitude. Attitude reveals faith or lack thereof. Or patience or lack thereof. I don't have any patience unless he graciously gives it to me. So how do I graciously get patience? I don't ask him for patience, I ask him for grace. And grace me with the ability to. And all of a sudden you begin to see things begin to manifest that just blows your mind. But because something hasn't happened yet, doesn't mean it's not going to. It just may come in a season that you never thought it would be. I used to make fun of old guys driving Corvettes. When I was a young guy, I thought, look at that old guy driving a Corvette, trying to be a teenager. Now I say, yay for those guys. Yay for those guys that have Corvettes. I say, get it at any age you can. Who says Corvettes belong to the 20-year-old? Can't appreciate a Corvette till you're at least 60. It's funny how the paradigm shifts. That's why it's all about value. So you have to determine, you want a lot of things here. You do. All of you do. But it doesn't mean you value what you want. See, value is whenever you have a Holy Ghost change where what you used to think was important isn't. What I once thought was important, I now count that as dung. See, that Philippians chapter 3 where Paul says that. He had a value change. Value is not priority. Priority is outside. You can have right priorities, wrong values. Value is inside. That's what makes your heart beat. But when you patiently endure, now watch this, let's bring some honesty into it. Let's bring some integrity into this. Let's not make Abraham too super spiritual. Because he did have sex with another woman to try and get the deal done. He did have Hagar. What was he doing? Was he impatient? Well, yeah, he got impatient. He wanted to help God out. Well, but it says he patiently endured. That's why the word endured is there. Lack of patience creates hardship. And it means that's when you're most vulnerable to make the worst decisions of your life. Money-wise, love-wise, purchase-wise. Usually those three. Money, purchases. What's the other one? Love. And you begin to move around in that. And somehow we all have enough mojo to convince ourselves that this is right and this is God. It takes a while for fruit to appear. And sometimes when fruit appears and it's sour fruit, bitter fruit. Did you ever go to a cran apple tree and eat a cran apple? Oh my God. One bite and you say, it's not as good as it looks. Come on, somebody. Right? How many ever ate a cran apple? Let me see off a tree. Oh, they're tiny, about this big. And they just look, they shine. It looks like, oh my God, look at that. That looks like, and you think you're going to bite into a delicious, you know, a Macintosh apple or something like that. And you bite into this and your face turns three shades of, but it took a long time for that cran apple to pop out. And so sometimes it takes a while for us to recognize that we have gotten off our patience. We've gone our own way. And here's God. He's so gracious. He wants you to have what he promised. What did he do to Abraham? Give up on him? No. But what did Abraham do? What did Abraham do? He stayed diligent. He tried to offer Ishmael. He was trying to make the promise happen. He wasn't trying to forget about it. He was trying to make it happen. Difference. So God's thinking, well, he's trying to make it happen, but if he would just chill out, let me do it. Because he don't see it's Isaac, not Ishmael. So he's trying to offer up Ishmael, who's a grown man. And grown, you know. When he took Isaac up to the mountain, Isaac was 20 years old. He carried a young man up there, not a boy. So we're all here tonight wanting something to manifest. A healing, money, a dream, you know, a husband, a wife, babies. And the thing that we all fall victim to is impatience. And when you read, we inherit the promises by faith. No, by faith and. They're twins. They go together. What's that mean? Well, the way you ask that question means you got a problem already. You got, there's issues all over the place right there. The look on your face is not, I trust him. You know, remember Mary when the angel came, be it unto me. She wasn't thrilled about that. She's 16, 17 years old, 15 years old. She was a virgin. Very, very important that tonight, but those verses, you need to read over those verses because it's about being diligent and putting a value on what you're waiting for. See, there's the problem right there. We're so used to like, well, if that don't work, move on. If this doesn't happen, move on. That don't work, trade that in. And we take stuff back all the time to the stores, right? We delete. Because we're moving at a faster pace now than any other group in history. Our sound bites, our flashes. But many people will miss out on their calling and their destiny and all that God had for them. Not because they didn't have faith. Faith opens the door. Patience keeps the door open. So without patience, those doors close. And you've moved on to something else. And we can convince ourselves of anything. If something don't work out, you can convince yourself, I'm happy. You know, you can convince yourself, hey, this is great. You know, it's not Florida, but I mean, you know, hey. I don't got palm trees, but I mean, hey, it's great. And you have people come up with every kind of convoluted definition possible to convince themselves they're happy when they know deep down inside they yearn. Churn and burn to be in Florida. Right in the wintertime. But anybody that's ever achieved anything, there was always periods where it never looked like it was going to happen. Abraham Lincoln, how many times he ran for president. Fishermen, hunters, athletes, movie stars, preachers. I mean, the story of Billy Graham and how that all happened. You know, just incredible. Behind the scenes of all of these were people that patiently endured hardships. And sometimes we think they got there. There has to be a shortcut. There has to be a fast pass. You ever get into fast pass and have hardship even in the fast pass lane? I did. I was at Indiana Jones in California and jumped out of the regular lane into the fast lane, and here the people in the regular lane went ahead of the fast pass. And then I had an attitude in the fast pass lane. And then I didn't even enjoy the ride. I was knocked out of my flow. It's interesting. Staying diligent. What's that mean? If faith opens the door and patience keeps the door open, then how do you, what is patience? It's doing the same thing faith does on a regular basis in spite of the circumstance, in spite of the delay. See, delay is meant, here again, to flush out all of that stuff that's going to get in the road once you get the money. Patience flushes stuff out. And you know it does. I don't have to ask you examples because you know it does. It flushes out doubt. It flushes out negative talk. It flushes out, where's God? It flushes out. But the danger is then what it else does, it then it tries to for you to come up with your Abraham way of making the promise happen instead of just waiting the right way. And this charismatic, I gave it to God. God don't want it. He gave it to you. He gave it to you, and you give it back to him. I give you my life, and then you take it back, and I give you that dream, and he gives it to you, and you give it back. And that's not the way this works. He gave it to you to stay on top of it, to sit on that egg till it cracks, not till you crack. How's the promises obtained? Faith and What is patience? Not just waiting, not sleeping and being slothful. There, the word was right there, slothful. And be careful when you listen to other people's stories. They either don't tell the truth, don't tell all the truth, or their way's not your way. Quit trying to follow the way another man did it, or another woman did it, or another church did it. You know, go by this, what's written, and stay on top of it. Because most people forget their own prophecies. Don't write down their own dreams. Remember what they say God said to them. If God said that to you, and you don't remember it, then that means you don't value what he said to you. So if you don't value that, then how can you fight with that? All comes back to what you value. People running around chirping, God told me this, and God told me that, and God showed me this, and God showed me that, and God told me that. Well, hey, kudos, amen for all that. But if God said that, and you believe it was God, and not just you, shouldn't you value that more? By saying, if he said it, come on, say, if he said it, either written or in spirit. Remember, that's how he said it to Abraham. Abraham didn't have a written word. So when Abraham got that word, Abraham had to stand on a spirit word. It wasn't recorded anywhere. We read a recorded word. Abraham had a spirit word or a prophetic word. But he was diligent. He kept calling that baby in. So he erred on the side of diligence. He didn't err on the side of slothful. He was just diligent the wrong way. There's a better way. But that better way requires a patience that we have to often endure. Why is there enduring? Because it's hard to find out what's really in you whenever you can't have what you want when you want it. And if you'll let that flushing take place and recognize, boy, there's more doubt in me than I thought. Wow, that anger's in me more than I thought. Wow, I can't believe that's too much of my identity is connected to that. And that flushing, if you'll let that happen, and slowly what happens is, I mean, now you get what you wanted, and all of a sudden now you're in a place that you've never been in before to fully comprehend and appreciate how you got that. Because then whenever you say, boy, God did this, it comes out like God did that. So how does this help you when you walk out of here tonight? How does this help you? Recognize what opens the door is the same thing that keeps the door open. It's all about surrender. See, the one thing that God will never consent to, one thing, you can be violent, take everything by force except one thing, the timing of anything. If you go back into Genesis, here's what you'll find out. It says, and Sarah, watch this, gave birth, ready, in the set time. Those words are there, chilling. What's that mean? Anything else wouldn't have worked because God had a set time. God will give you the promise. He'll give you the prize. He'll give you the this and that, but he won't give you the time. That means you may have to reach out for the hem of garment more than one time like she did. You may have to touch the hem 30 times. You may have to be dunked, and he was only dunked how many times in the muddy river? For you, it could be 7. I didn't say it. I almost said it. 7. Well, why would I have to be dunked 7,000 times? It could mean that you're 6,900 and tougher nut to crack. I don't know. Who knows? God has all kind of things he's working in each one of us that is customized to your life. Your job is to recognize it's written, it's recorded, it's available. I can have it. But the danger, here's where the trip-ups are. We look at how other people got it, and we go, wow, I want that. And what we're really saying is, I want that the way he got it. I want that the way she got it. Let God be creative with you, and let God use the process to flesh out. You and I could walk out here tonight and say prayers and sing songs and read scripture, and it would not flesh out what the patient process will flesh out. Because it'll take you somewhere that you never thought you could go.
For more information about this and other teachings by Pastor Billy, please call 1-888, the number 7, and the word healed. Or in the Tampa area, call 813-287-2116. The mailing address is Billy Burke, World Outreach Ministries, P.O. Box 25441, Tampa, Florida 33622. That's Billy Burke, World Outreach Ministries, P.O. Box 25441, Tampa, Florida 33622. Or you can look us up on the web at www.billyburke.org.